Hey, Anna, you know I'm like I've got my finger on the pulse of culture in America, right?
That's how I describe you. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I was very excited to hear that Oreos are going to be coming out with a very special limited edition Moon Phase Oreos in honor of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. Are you as excited as I am?
I don't, well, not if they're like, is it going to be so it's like less cream based on, because I'm not down for that.
No,
I want full cream.
They're pretty much doing
full moon.
They're doing the minimum amount. Basically, they're just changing the cookie to have like a little moon pattern on it.
I was thinking it would be like they would cut the cream to I was like, nope, like, not into
it. They have a machine that like takes a bite out of it for you. So it's like,
I'll be that machine.
You get all, there we go.
I'll do it.
Well, you can make a crescent. You can make a first quarter.
Yeah.
And definitely a lot of new moons.
That's right. I'll be like, don't worry. I work in an observatory. I'm totally qualified.
This is the most exciting thing. I can't wait to get because.
Are you excited?
I mean, Oreos are one of the best things. Like, we would incorporate Oreos into our education programs. Like, I would have them make moon phases out of the Oreos. So you separate the two. You separate the cookie from the cream.
Okay.
And then you carve out the cream off of it into the shape of different moon phases.
Do they get to eat that cream?
They get to eat the
delicious.
Whole thing.
Okay.
But they have to make all the phases.
New
moon, crescents, waxing, waning, all those.
Uh-huh.
And if they get 8 moon phases perfectly, then they get a personal thumbs up from me.
I was like, they get like a pack of Oreos or something. You're like, a thumbs up from Dean Ringus is worth more than a pack of Oreos. I mean,
then they get to, they're like, we already just ate 8 Oreos. We don't need more Oreos to fry.
Don't you know about how bad sugar is for us kids, right?
That was actually one of the weirdest reactions. The kids were like, so do we get to eat the Oreos? I was like, yeah, you get to eat those. Oh, we already ate so many.
What a Cadillac problem. I ate so many Oreos.
I know.
Kids today. That is exciting, though.
From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where Dean is the astronomer and the co-host of the PBS series Stargazers, and I'm like Terry Gross, asking the hard questions. In this episode, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission to the moon by talking with Dante Centauri, executive director of the Armstrong Air and Space Museum in Wapakoneta, Ohio. I think it's exciting that Oreo is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all over the place.
What other round of foods can get on this?
No, I mean, moon pies will be out there, even though in the summertime they always melt like crazy. But, but that's still, I'm sure they're going to be like all over the place.
I don't think I've had a moon pie before, which is surprising.
Never had a moon pie?
What are they?
I've only had like one or two.
Oh, okay. Are they just like chocolate little discs, right?
Yeah. But they're like, they're like kind of,
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
have you really had a moon pie? Because you're talking like an alien who's like says he's had a moon pie.
I know. It's been so long. I don't really actually remember what they're like. But in theory, like in my mind, they seem good.
So, theoretically.
In actuality, I'll take an Oreo. But anyway.
I think it's going to be exciting to see what other special editions and like things they have for this exciting. Because I think that this is something that people are going to get really excited about. Not just nerdy people like us.
No.
I almost said like you. Like us.
Oh, you lumped
like
yourself
us.
In with
I did.
Me?
I'm, we're all in it together now, man. Because I'm excited about this. I think it's really great.
Yeah, this is cool. I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia with it for people that saw the moon landing. But, you know, for us, since we're so young, we didn't actually see
so
it on
young.
TV. So we have to live vicariously through those.
But people say they remember where they were, like when it happened and all that. I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, the whole world basically was watching television that night where he steps on the moon and, gives that line, this one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. And it was, it was the moment of the decade. That's for sure.
Yeah. Of the decade, of the century.
That's right.
I try to be a one-upper.
Again, this is before our time,
we don't know
for sure.
We're assuming.
Right.
I also think that it's interesting, and this is very timely, that There is a lot of celebrity interest in NASA and in space and in astronomy. Now, you wouldn't know anything about that because you just asked me before we started talking about an Insta story. And I was like, is that the first time you've ever used that word?
Is that used properly?
No, it wasn't.
It's not an Insta story? What do you call it?
It is an Insta story, but you were saying it like, I mean, Instagram has Insta stories.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Are you going to tell the listeners who featured you in their Insta story?
Well, so...
Do you know?
I don't really know who this person is, but maybe, because you better explain
okay.
it, I don't know who it is.
So the other day, we're in the office talking, and by talking, I mean, I'm sure I was talking, because I don't stop. And
usual.
Dean was like, can I just get some work done? Anywho, he says, oh, this is interesting. Casey Musgraves featured me and James, your co-host on Stargazers, in her Insta story. And I was like, what? That's not right.
Said, you didn't believe it. Huh?
You're saying words.
Right.
And then I looked at her Instagram, not right. the same thing as an Insta story.
Right.
And her handle on there is Spacey Casey.
Yeah.
And she said something like she loves PBS. What was it?
Yeah. So she had a picture of me and James on the Stargazer show on her hoverboards. And she's like, God, I love PBS. That's what it said. And so I thought, oh, well, that's great. That's a nice to get a shout out from whoever
too.
Casey Musgraves is.
Famous singer.
Is
okay.
She?
Yes, Dean.
Well, it was very, very flattering of her to do that. That was great. I'm glad. That's the thing. I think it's like this is in a lot of people's minds. They're really into the space stuff.
Ariana Grande just went to the Johnson Space. Do you know? I'm sorry. Let me back up. Ariana Grande is a singer. She's very famous.
Right.
She's a long ponytail. And she's very tiny. So just,
I understood the NASA part of that sentence.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand
so a very famous singer went to NASA. It's the best PR for them because she went crazy Instagramming it and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like you go to those places and everybody nerds out. Even you would nerd out there.
I would nerd out there. If I saw Ariana Grande, I'd be like, oh my God. No, I'm kidding. I don't like her that much. But I mean, she's great. Come on the show, Ariana. Oh, no.
Oh,
I would. I would geek out, though.
Yeah.
It'd be really fun. And. Yeah, they're also going to get Steph Curry out there.
Really?
You know who Steph Curry is.
I know who that is, yeah.
Because actually, you are into sports.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we didn't talk about this beforehand, but did you hear about how he made a joke that the moon landing was fake? It was a joke.
Oh,
and
I
then
hope
NASA
it was
like, why don't you come out and we'll show you how it wasn't fake?
Oh.
So he's like, I'll go.
All right.
I would do the same thing.
Well, if I can, I'll say those things, and
no,
if those
you
things
won't.
Will happen
you
to me.
Do you have any integrity?
Well, I want to go to NASA,
for
too.
For a free trip. Okay, fine.
For
I'll
free trip
say
to
it,
NASA.
Too.
With Steph Curry? Sure,
with
I'll
Steph
go.
Curry. I don't know if he's going to be like the tour guide.
Oh.
I think he's going to get his own education.
And Ariana Grande.
And Casey Musgraves.
I'll be there.
What do you think? We try to get Casey Musgraves on the show. And be like, hey, one of those hoverboard guys hosts.
There we go. That's right. That's right. Yeah, because I was not named personally in this Instagram, by the way. It was just like this picture. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think she was making fun of us.
No,
was
I think
she,
she's
sure?
funny.
Okay, all right.
It's Spacey
sure.
Casey is her like.
It's true.
I mean, yeah, maybe she's absent-minded, but I mean, I think she probably likes space.
All right, let's do it. Any other celebrities out there that would like to get
That's
in
right.
on this?
Dean would like a tour of NASA's.
Hitch their star to our wagon, and they would like to get in on this.
Oh my gosh.
We'd love to have you on, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, and Dean will get your name right and know who you are and everything.
That's right.
He'll do all the research.
So I think the other news in the cultural world is that the Big Bang Theory, the TV show, ended recently.
Yes.
And, I mean, this was such a long run. It was a celebration of nerd culture.
Absolutely.
And brains and all that. that was kind of I think the response that people had for that show was pretty, I think, surprising, number one. I think they probably surprised the network, but
I agree with that.
For how long it lasted, and
because it could be very technical, like when Sheldon was talking, I was like, I don't know what he's saying. It was amazing.
Yeah, and they got so much right. They had like technical producers. They had people like fact checking things. They were actually saying real science and real engineering and real math.
Man.
And
yet it was still entertaining.
And yet somehow it was that, you know, geeks can be that entertaining.
Who knew?
That's right. So, I mean, the only other cultural reference, you know, when I thought we were going to have this conversation, I thought we were going to like get into like my favorite song of Europe, The Final Countdown. I always think of that song. It's
Do you know how long ago that song came out, Dean?
I don't know. I was probably a kid.
When I'm saying pop culture, I mean current events in pop culture.
Yeah, but The Final Countdown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Look it up, kids, when you.
Yeah. Hey, kids. This is Uncle Dean here wants you to look up The Final Countdown. It's the oldest song ever recorded. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
As the world prepares to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the successful Apollo 11 mission to the moon, we are really excited to welcome Dante Centuri, the executive director of the Armstrong Air and Space Museum in Neil Armstrong's hometown of Wapakoneta, Ohio. Dante, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, so how did you get started in this field, and how do you get to the Armstrong Museum in Wapakoneta?
That can be something. How did I get started in this field? I think a lot of folks who got started in museums didn't necessarily think they'd end up going there. I think it's one of those fields that when you're growing up, you might not know that exists. I always loved science. I always loved space growing up. I majored in astronomy and physics. When I graduated college, I just knew I didn't want to go into academia. I didn't want to go into research. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I did like science. And then I became aware of just teaching in museums. And I got a fellowship at the Museum of Science in Boston. And I just fell in love with this type of work and pretty much been doing it ever since.
And so what do you think that it is that really excites the public about space? I mean, it seems like it's the most, I guess I'm biased. I think it's the most popular topic, but I mean, it seems like every age group, like kind of like you go through a space phase. What do you think it is about it that excites the public so much?
Yeah, I guess I'm biased too, but I just remember a couple of years ago, we were doing some funding evaluation at one place I worked, and just general interest questions, space turned up, and it was like weather and human body. I think that kind of comes up because people want to know about themselves and things that affect them. And then space, I think, is one of those big unknowns that people are attracted to. That's the only way I could guess at it.
Well, of course, there's a big anniversary coming up in just a this summer.
You're aware of this, right?
I'm aware.
No, I'm talking to Dante.
There's an
anniversary coming.
Hey, Dante, are you aware?
Yes, it's the 50th anniversary of the Mets winning their first World Series.
No, not that one.
Yeah, maybe there's other important anniversaries. I hadn't thought about that.
We're kind of focused here, but
that's interesting. So the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, so exciting. Can you tell us a little bit about what the museum's doing in celebration of that milestone?
Sure. It's one of the things that the museum's marked every year, and the community too is embraced. I mean, local boy does good. The first man to step on the moon is from this town. And we've had summer moon tests every year. And as you might imagine, on those, fives and zeros, it would step up a little bit. But this is the big one. So we're expanding it. It's a 12-day celebration from July 12th to 21st.
Right.
It's a community-wide celebration. But the museum is one of the foci of activity downtown. There's other things going on. Like, for instance, on July 14th, we're having a parade from the fairgrounds down to downtown Wapakoneta, recreating at least the first half of the homecoming parade in 1969.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, that's very exciting. Chatting with people in town, they're talking about trying to watch the parade from the same place they stood in 1969, which is really cool. You don't think about, how much it means to folks and the kind of things that folks would want to do to try and recapture that or recreate it. That's on the 14th. We're also going to have a little extra programming on July 16th to mark the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11. We'll have some rocket activities and launching workshops and things like that. We'll have a little launch day going on. Activities start to pick up downtown in the middle of the week when the summer moon fest has more of a summer fest feel where the streets will be closed off downtown. There'll be bands and there'll be food and fun activities like the world's largest moon pie and things like that. And then things ramp up at the museum also, centering around that July 20th date when on the 9th, 20th, and 21st, our whole grounds will be covered with an assortment of activities. And things ranging from just the pure fun, like, you know, bouncing on something that's spinning around in a gyroscope, like, you know, your brain being an astronaut or something like that. We're inviting partners to you know, share education experiences, you know, like the Toledo Zoo, Imagination Space, and things like that. NASA is coming out. We're having some temporary exhibits from NASA to complement our collection during those days. So they have some Apollo artifacts that that are kind of a neat extension of the things in our permanent collection, which is always fun to see that. Also, we'll have astronauts that weekend. We have some Ohio astronauts making public appearances, meet and greet presentations. And these are four astronauts are all from Ohio, which is Ohio is one of the states that just has the most good astronauts. And not just, you know, the big names like, you know, Neil Armstrong and John Glenn and Jim Lovell, but many significant shuttle experienced astronauts. So that Saturday morning is Race to the Moon or Pathway 10K. It's an annual event. But this year, expecting a lot of participants with that as well. Just battling off all kinds of experiences going on. But we're just ready to welcome, you know, thousands of people here to, you know, share in the marketing the event, sharing in the celebration, you know, having fun, experiencing something new, and learning something along the way.
So now, one of our engineers has a question for you. Now, he grew up in the Wapakoneta area, and he said that they, you know, the kids would always take field trips there, and you know, it was like the big yearly field trip to go there. And he wants to know about the astronaut ice cream. Is it still in the gift shop? And of course, is it still just as tasty as it was 25 years ago?
Yeah, of course, the astronaut ice cream is still in the gift shop. That is a very popular item, and it should be just as tasty. I haven't tasted the ice cream in 25 years ago, but at least not here. I mean, I haven't tasted it over the years. So don't worry, it'll be here.
Okay, personally, I'm hoping the technology's improved, because when I was a kid and I got that astronaut ice cream, I thought it was going to be the best thing ever. And then after I ate it, I was like, I don't want to be an astronaut. This stuff, I can't eat this.
You thought it was going to be ice cream. You had ice cream. Yeah. So you were like, that's right. Yeah. It only could go down from there.
Yeah, I don't know what you had, but they do have the freeze-dried ice cream sandwich now.
And it's not there we go.
Neapolitan is always a disappointment, whether it's, you know, astronaut ice cream or just, you know, in a tub of briars or something.
Well, that sounds like you're having an incredible celebration, and that's going to be amazing. Can you tell our listeners where they can find more information about the Armstrong Air and Space Museum?
Yeah, I mean, our webpage is www.armstrongmuseum.org. We have information about the museum, our program, our exhibits, special events like the festival. And also, we have a webpage that is covers all of the events for the celebration across the community. And that webpage is www.firstonthemoon.org. So that's really being embraced. State Department of Transportation just put some new highway signs on I-75 that say First on the Moon for our exit. It says First on the Moon, Wapakoneta, and a big green and white sign. So we're really excited. It's really... It's happening. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, we're super excited about the anniversary on July 20th, and it'll be a lot of eyes looking up at the Wapakoneta up the I-75 from us, and must be just a great treat working for that. Must be a great honor working at that that location. So thanks so much for joining us today, Dante. This is a lot of fun.
Again, thanks for having me, and as you said, it's a great honor to be here at such a very special time.
We've been talking with Dante Centauri from the Armstrong Air and Space Museum.
All right, so we work at the observatory. We get a lot of folks that have unique ideas, beliefs. They see things, what have you. We try to walk them through gently. Show them the way. That's on you. Mm-hmm. And so we call them crank file because sometimes they're a little out there. They're way out there.
Fact or fiction.
Yeah, fact or fiction. That's right. So the ultimate crank file, I would say,
The granddaddy of the crank files.
That's right. The granddaddy would be the moon landing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be the questioned authenticity of the moon landing. I just think that is like the main one. That's the biggie.
Yeah, it is. Did we land on the moon July 20th, 1969?
Right.
And believe it or not, I had a family member ask me this over the
Your
week.
Your own family?
Yes. I will not say which family member it is to embarrass that person.
Oh,
but,
my God. Tell me after the show, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you after. but it was just like, well, you know, we probably went, but how do we know for sure?
What was their percentage that they were sure, would you say?
25%.
What?
They were like saying, how do we know for sure? I mean, how do you know we actually went to the moon? It's, and you know, I guess it's good to have a skeptical nature, but
about this,
let's put it in perspective how this happened. I mean, that we had 400,000 people work on a project to make rockets to go all the way to the moon. We had six missions land on the moon, eight or nine missions circle around the moon. The amount of engineering for this was incredible, and we have so much proof. All of the video evidence, all of the videos that were made are the proof. And so we go back and forth with this. Say, oh, well, what about this one picture? How do you explain how the shadows were on this picture? And how come there aren't any stars in this picture and all this stuff? And, you know, so you can like nitpick every single picture all you want.
Sure.
And that's fine. I welcome that. But but you don't want to, but you also have to say, okay, so by this logic, that means if I can show you one picture that proves it, that you can't disprove.
Oh.
You know, like you can pick all these other ones.
Right.
Oh, yeah, what about this? But if I show you one that you can't disprove that we went to the moon, then will you, I was going to say, be quiet. I'll say it that way. Be quiet.
Okay, I'm not talking, you're talking to me specifically. You're talking to moon landing doubters.
I'm talking to my relative.
Your relative?
My unnamed relative.
Unnamed, called out.
So my best evidence to prove this is that when we look at all of the video footage when they're on the moon, gravity is different. That's just how it is. Gravity on the moon is 1/6 of what it here is on Earth.
Okay.
So the astronauts, when they went to the moon, they had Earth muscles, but they weighed less.
Muscles.
Yes, they were like super strong Herculean people up on the moon.
Okay.
So whenever they move in a way where they go up at normal speed, but fall back at 1/6 gravity.
Okay.
So
that's
the skeptics,
why they like bounce real slow.
That's right. Yeah. So the skeptics would say, oh, well, they're just slowing down the footage. You can't do that because they're going up normal, going down 1/6. So you can't like
that
stop
doesn't exist, that technology.
And they say, well, they have strings on them. They have like this stuff. And it's like, so when they like kick up dust, the dust goes up normal, falls 1/6. So they have strings on each piece of dust. They have strings when they fall down and they kick up dust and the dust. This cannot be faked. In fact, this is 1969.
Right.
You remember the movies from 1969?
No, Dean.
I mean,
you're
alive.
Older than me.
Right.
much older than me.
We both weren't alive. That's right. If you learn nothing from this episode, we're not 50 years
That's
old.
Right. One of us is closer than the other.
But if you watch movies today, everywhere they go, whether it's Star Trek, Star Wars, The Martian with Matt Damon, every world they go to, they're operating under Earth gravity. Like on Mars, you should weigh 1/3 of what you weigh here on Earth. So Matt Damon should be walking funny. He should be like jumping and you're walking normal, but falling at 1/3 gravity.
Yeah.
And they can't even do it in 2016 when that movie comes out. So you think that we could have done it in 1969, but we can't do it now?
That's
like,
insane.
It doesn't make sense. So you cannot fake this. And that gravity of how they moved on the moon. So just look at the footage. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Do you convince people with this argument?
Sometimes.
Or are they just like, nope, and then put their like tinfoil hat on and walk away?
The Matt Damon argument seems to be the best because I'm like, all right, watch The Martian.
I
was super excited for The Martian because I thought, okay, they're going to do it. They're
really?
Going to make him have Mars gravity. They're going to do it.
They don't have time for that, Dean.
No, they don't have time for it. They don't have the money for it.
Hey, nobody got time for that.
Nobody has time for that.
Okay.
So absolutely positively, we went to the moon, and I hope that we go back, and I hope that we go even farther in the future. Mars. And then we'll see how you really walk.
See people fall at one third speed.
Exactly.
They faked that. I watched The Martian and they didn't do that. It'll be like a whole weird.
That's right. They could use The Martian against us.
They probably will.
I know. But I love it when they go to all these like worlds and you know, Star Wars, and they're like, hey, look at us. We're just walking in normal Earth gravity. How about that?
And you're in the back of the theater like, that's not real.
That's
and you're like,
not real.
Quiet. I'm trying to watch this movie.
I know. I'm the big buzzkill when I watch it.
That's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks so much to Dante Centauri for joining us. You'll find a link to the Armstrong Air and Space Museum at our website, wvxu.org/lookingup.
And thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. You could drop us a note with topic or guest ideas or questions about space on Facebook or Twitter, or email us at lookingup@wvxu.org.
Parents, while your kiddos are on summer break, we hope you'll introduce them to Looking Up. For those car trips or rainy days, we think they'll have fun listening and maybe accidentally pick up a little bit of knowledge.
You can subscribe to Looking Up wherever you listen to podcasts. And please give us a rating and comment on Apple Podcasts. If you're new to Looking Up, you can always find all of our past episodes at wvxu.org/lookingup.
Our theme song and additional music is by Why, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.